prep sports now, start of the week, and some good feeling folks over at Bishop Gorman, Liberty, and Palo Verde, all big wins last week. And another good feeling person in this room, got to gloat a little bit, Case Kiefer. I finally beat you 1 week in the picks. I went 17-1, 24 unanswered points from Clark away from an undefeated week.
Well, you're coming into your own, buddy. It's quite a day. I'm glad you could gloat. Good job on the Liberty game. I was shocked. I mean, if you tell me Del Sol doesn't score, they didn't score in the whole game? Am I seeing that right?
Yeah, you did see it right. They actually scored, but there was a flag. It was a pretty blatant block in the back, I believe. Chris Marshall, your boy.
With the block in the back or the touchdown?
No, with the touchdown.
All right. Well, Del Sol, who I pegged as the third best team in town at the beginning of the year, who I also thought would be unstoppable because of Chris Marshall, clearly didn't look that way. They lose 35-0. Liberty with their favorite play number one, that's hand the ball to Capelli. And they trounce them 35-0. Kiefer, let me ask you this. Do you think I might be wrong on my theory, my great theory where the team that has the best player is going to win if you could get the ball into space? Because it's, you know, it started with the Devontae Neal kid from Shap and the other kid from Sholo, and now Chris Marshall. Is having one playmaker with semi-even teams, which I thought we thought some of these other situations were, is that not a good theory?
I mean, I always kind of disagreed with the theory. If you know, I didn't really go after you totally because it's one way to look at the game. But football, I just think, is so much different than other games. I think maybe that's even a better argument for basketball or something. But football, just a lot more goes into it. And if you have one amazing talent like Chris Marshall, well, you can get in the ball, but it's going to take more. You got to get him into some space. You got to be able to do some other things to give them some room to breathe. And just, I mean, if we're talking about Del Sol Liberty, they weren't really able to do that.
And the reason why I still like my theory is you kind of look what's going on at Green Valley. They've won four in a row now, and Aaron Love is one of the better players in town. He's going for 200-plus yards every game and multiple touchdowns. And without Aaron Love, I don't know if Green Valley's won a game this year, to be honest with you. And I don't know if there's another kid on Green Valley's team where you could say, oh, don't forget about Bob Smith or whomever. It's basically Aaron Love and 10 other guys, and they're putting them in the right spots, and Aaron's getting the ball where he could have success. So do you think if Del Sol gave Chris Marshall the kind of space that Aaron Love's getting, it would be different?
I mean, I could be totally wrong on this. I haven't seen Green Valley, but from what I understand, they're a pretty experienced team. I think if you showed me the 10 guys that go around Aaron Love and the 10 guys that go around Chris Marshall, and I hate being this harsh on high school football, but I'm almost sure I would take the 10 kids at Green Valley over the other 10 kids at Del Sol. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, and I guess a big problem with Del Sol, and even Coach Goroff, when I went out to one of their games this year, they weren't usually Del Sol's ground and pound. You know, between the tackles, we're going to beat you, we're going to be more physical than you. But this year they don't have the personnel. They don't have the big husky lineman that's strong, that's going to push people out of the way. And, you know, trying to get Chris Marshall the ball in space, for as quick as he is, he's got nowhere to run because it's like Del Sol's line is just standing there not doing anything. So give Liberty props. They proved me wrong again.
You, by the way, were a marked man on that at that Liberty field. I heard your name more that night than I think I have from the 3 years I've known you. Everyone's like, where's Brewer? Where's Brewer? Yeah. Ray Brewer. If you had any doubts, if you motivated this team, I think you get the motivation award, and you didn't even see any of the kids this week.
Yeah, I would have shown up, but I didn't have my bulletproof vest. It was at the cleaners from another year. So nonetheless, congrats to Liberty. I guess the struggles against Arborview in week one, and I guess week two a little bit against DP, are long gone. They killed Spring Valley, pieced it together. They're late against Silverado and look great against Del Sol. Is Liberty now, Case, the – wow, folks. It's raining outside as we tape this on a Monday. The lightning and the thunder – heating up a little.
Sounds
bit.
Sounds like Nico Capelli out there colliding pads.
Busting through the line.
Yeah, I think before we move on to this game, because I know we want to talk about Gorman a lot, we should mention Nico Capelli. If Liberty wanted him to break the school record again this week that he did last week, they could have. I think he had about 280. 6 yards or something going into the fourth quarter, and then he didn't run the ball much. I think from reading your story last week, he set a school record with 220-something. I mean, the kid is obviously a pretty amazing talent. He's got a great offensive line to run behind.
Are they better than Vegas?
I think they'll beat Vegas, no question. And I think we'll probably see that game again, the rematch.
Okay. I mean, only if Liberty could get through DP, I guess, which will be better and in more condition.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see.
And then your favorite team, Foothill. We'll talk about the Southeast later. Let's talk about Gorman, Servite. Speaking of rain, rained on me the entire game, Kiefer. I was a mess. My hair was out of style. You know me, got to have every little hair in the right spot.
Yeah. You know,
the gray hairs blending in with the dark hairs and the whole nine yards. But Gorman, 31-28, feel-good story. Klein Fielden, the kicker who missed against Armwood, gets a chance for redemption. Drills a 39-yarder to win the game with less than a minute to play. And, you know, when we talk about Gorman, we always talk about their D1 guys. You know, Shaq Powell, Ronnie Stanley, Ron Scoggins. But to have a kid who's a kicker who, you know, you got to admit it, when you're the kicker at Gorman, what is it, a few extra points and kicking off. That's basically what you're going to do, right? Well, here's a kid that missed a field goal on national TV. You know, don't know if he exactly signed up to be kicking, you know, game tying or winning field goals on national TV, but that's what he got. And just to be able to overcome the mental aspect of missing against, I missed that kick against Armwood, I probably transfer schools, literally. I tell my dad, I'm like, Dad, you got to move me back into, you know, the neighborhood school where I could be the man. I'd be afraid to go in that locker room. The kid's like 5'7". You know, but you got to give Gorman credit. They picked the kid up. The kid didn't quit mentally, and he drilled it when he counted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, you pretty much summed it up, and I think your story summed it up for me. I wasn't at the game. I was, you know, out on the town doing some things, but I kept checking my phone to see the score, and I think I typed in Gorman into Twitter, saw it was 28-28, and then I checked again and saw they won 31-28 with a field goal, and that was the first thing that came to my mind, I think, were the exact words you used were sweet redemption. And look, I'm sure that I don't know the kid, Klein Frieden, and I'm sure that he's strong mentally and bounced back after that miss, but no matter what, no matter how much your coaches, you know, your teammates are behind you and, you know, tell you, hey, look, we could have won this game other places, that stuff eats you up inside, and it's something that sticks with you. And to get another chance, what, 3 weeks later to kind of write it and be in kind of the same situation and knock one through, I mean, that just had to feel great, and it kind of speaks to the kid's resiliency to be able to knock it down in a big game for the win.
You should have seen the grin on this kid's face, bro. It was like he, let me see, it was like Christmas Day when he was six, his 16th birthday getting a Mercedes, and not knowing what the kid drives or if he's even 16, but like every day of goodness in his life wrapped up to one, this kid has a smile that probably will never go away. So it's a good deal. But, you know, it wasn't just his kick. Gorman, you know, they scored 14 points to open the game. You know, they were sloppy a little bit in between, and then they rallied and won. And I thought it was just another stamp on the quality of football players we have in Nevada. I know it's limited to just one school, but when you got a national television audience watching the best you have to offer, it was Nevada versus California. That's how I look at it, and Nevada won. Now, granted, if you wanted to pull 30 California teams and put them in Nevada, Nevada might not win much more after what happened on Friday night. But I go victory for Nevada, victory for Gorman.
I know, just asking you a little bit more about this game, I know last week on the podcast we kind of looked at Servite before it. We kind of studied them. We both kind of thought Gorman maybe not be in this close of a game. I thought they'd probably win by a little bit more. Do you think some of the things we talked about kind of showed up that it was tough to adjust to that level of competition, or was it just Servite was a lot better than maybe we expected?
You know what? Justin Sweet returns the opening kickoff, 89 yards. Gorman's up 7-0. They force a three and out. They score five or six plays later. They're up 14-0. I'm thinking to myself, hey, maybe we get a running clock going. Seriously.
Against the number one team in California, a running clock that bad?
It looked that easy.
Wow.
I mean, it was like, get the bus started. Here we go. And then Shaq Powell fumbled for the first time since last year against Arborview. Solomon got picked. A few kids had their shoes untied, and next thing you know, they're down 20-14.
And, of course, they were playing without what's the kid's name? I can't believe I just forgot it. My favorite player in Nevada. Wasn't he hurt and didn't play?
Jake Smirk.
Yeah, Jake Smirk. They were playing without him. That had to have some effect.
Injured his knee, I guess his kneecap on Monday at practice. I was actually there when he got hurt. I didn't think much of it. I thought he was going to be back. You put a little ice in these things. He's got the whole knee brace on. But you got to give Gorman credit. They give up 20 straight points. They're behind 20-14. And then they rally with two touchdowns in like 2 minutes to close the half. And they were just pretty passes. You know, Solomon found Smith in the end zone. And Ryan Smith had probably had a bad year up until that catch. And it was cool, man. The place was electric, Case. 5,000 people. And even
in the rain?
Even in the rain. Umbrellas up and the whole nine yards. You know, Eddie Howth, who covers freelances for us sometimes, right? He was at the game covering Servite for a California paper. He'd never been to Gorman. Never been to a high school. Kids from Minnesota, so who knows what they play up there. Never been to a...
They play hockey.
I don't know what kind of football they have, right? You know, but he had never seen the facility, and he's sitting in there like in shock. He feels like he's at a Rebel game. He doesn't know what to expect. And then the next night, we got the kid at Silverado Basic. He sends me a text. He's like, wow, I was a little let down here. I'm like, I know. That's how do you think I felt a few times? I mean, it's just so awesome to be there for these nationally televised games.
Yeah, and Silverado Basic, of course, it was part of a slate that was on Saturday night. I couldn't stand that either. I hated Saturday night. That's not when high school football is supposed to be. I know I'm not trying to be insensitive. I know it was a Jewish holiday, but everywhere else across the country, they aren't playing games on Saturday night.
Or on Thursday.
You know, even at Liberty, they usually have a nice crowd. Liberty had a smaller crowd than normal, and I think it's because on Saturday, you don't have kids that get out of school, kill a couple hours, and then come over to the game. If it's on Saturday, we just need to get rid of this. I hate the Saturdays. High school football, not on Saturdays.
Yeah, or Thursday.
Or Thursdays, which is this week. Team's going to be off a shorter resting period. Before we get to this week, let's talk.
Let me ask you this. Did you DVR the Gorman game?
I totally forgot I was going to, and I didn't DVR it.
I was
going
to ask you what you thought of the slick unis.
Oh, that was one thing we had to talk about on this podcast. I'm so happy you brought it up because I did look at Sam Morris's photo gallery, our photographer extraordinaire here. I kind of have mixed feelings. I don't dislike them, but I think Gorman looks pretty sharp always, and I think I'd kind of take Gorman's normal jerseys over them. But that being said, I loved the helmets. The helmets were...
charcoal, is that fair to say?
Yeah, whatever the helmets were, they were very slick. What did you think of the uniforms?
I thought they were slick. Apparently, there were supposed to be some navy blue pants with maybe some black tones. I'm not in the style, but they didn't have enough medium pants to go around, so they had to go to the orange so everybody could have pants. I just thought they were absolutely slick. I love the helmet. I guess Nike and ESPN combined to provide the uniforms for Servite and Gorman. Servite looks sharp. It was great. It was a national TV game, marquee game. I loved it. I loved the uniforms. I loved the look. It was everything from the undergear they put on to the coaches' polos. Coaches even got new pants and shoes. Great deal. Sign me up. But here's the one thing I can't figure out, and I hate to complain. I love Nike. I got a pair of Nike shoes. Not wearing them now.
Me neither.
Okay. I got a few Nike shirts. No big deal. I'm a Nike guy. Okay. But how do you go and give 50 grand to Gorman, basically 50 grand worth of free gear to Gorman and Servite, which I think is great. It's on TV. It's part of their rivalry series. No questions asked, right, Case? But what about all these other schools in town, dude? Clark and Western and Shap and Valley and all these schools that don't have the uniforms, don't have the resources to get money to get new uniforms. I just felt like if a donation was going to be made to the Valley, to the Valley's programs, why at a school like Gorman, who's already a Nike elite school, who already gets whatever it wants, why can't we give something to the public school team like Gorman or Shap? I mean, like Shap or Valley or a school that they're wearing rags out there.
Well, I mean, you won't like the answer, but it's a really simple answer. It's because Shap and Valley aren't on national television. There are going to be thousands of people watching Shap and Valley.
I totally understand that, but Nike had like 30 people on the sidelines for this. It was their big deal, and they were so proud. They were, you know, taking pictures. The kids, dude, had those I Believe shirts on, and they were dancing around. It was amazing. Great crowd, very spirited. But the Nike people are there. They're taking pictures. It's all good. They're beating their chest. They feel proud. Man, if I worked for Nike, I'd be like, dude, we got billions of dollars. Everybody wants to wear Nike. Can we go help out some of the needy people? I don't know if that's the I'm fairly conservative, as you know. I don't know what's coming out in me. I think, great, Gorman looked great, uniforms awesome, national TV game, great environment, glad they got it. But if you're going to donate the money to the Valley and beat your chest and pride, let's get some kids that need it, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I disagree with you. I just see Nike's stance, too, and I think that we could complain all we want about that, but it's not going to change.
I'm the little man, so if you're listening, Nike, Western High, they haven't had new uniforms in 13 years. They haven't won a game either this year. Do you think there's a parallel to that? If you feel good and you look good, you play good.
All right, well,
that's all I'm saying.
There you go. Since you're obviously sick of talking about Nike, before we get to this week, why don't we quickly touch on Palo Verde, an Under Armour school. They had a big win against Cheyenne.
And this is how bad it is at Palo. I'm looking at their Under Armour, and it looks great. But some of the kids are wearing, like, Nike or Adidas shoes and Nike socks. So, just to let you know.
So, Under Armour obviously doesn't go the whole
go the whole 9 yards. But here's the deal. Cheyenne is a mess. Bro, a minute and a half into the game, Palo's up 14-0. Okay? It's a three and out, kick return for a touchdown. Three and out, blocked kick, touchdown. Cheyenne kid ejected for Parker Ross, the little holder on the extra points.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Counts destroyed him. Absolutely destroyed him. Like 3 seconds after the play was over, kid got ejected, which means he's got to miss the Arborview game.
Oh, wow. One of their best players. I didn't even know that.
And the thing is Cheyenne's got some players. Spite took one long. I mean, Milo Lewis took one long. We know Spite's good. They got good players. It's just they were just so not ready for the structure and organization of Palo Verde. Even 3 minutes into the game, they got the little junior high kid that wants to go there in, baggy shorts and a T-shirt. That kid got a flag because he didn't get the ball in on time to the referees.
That's kind of picky, isn't it, to give the kid a flag?
Like, who's got the ball? They can't find the kid. They're yelling for him.
Wow, where was he, the concession stand?
No, there was a little communication mix-up. He didn't realize where he had to be. But I'm saying that's how bad it was for Cheyenne. Punt return for a touchdown, block punt, best player kicked out. Kid with the ball not even on the team gets a 15-yarder.
Sounds like a mess to me.
And that's what Palo does to you. They show up, they're organized, they're structured, they rarely have penalties, and when they do, the kid's like got to go carry everybody's helmets to the bus, and they go and they beat you. They're organized, structured, physical, and they win ball games. And that's what I saw. It's tough. The two games I saw this week, Gorman, Palo, structure, organization, plenty of players. When one kid gets hurt, it's not the end of the world, right?
Right.
You see it all the time. Rancho, I told you, was supposed to be good. They got a few injuries. They're awful, you know? You can't plug them in. Durango, we thought, was going to be good. Quarterback goes out. They're awful. The schools that have some backups are the ones that are going to survive in advance.
Makes sense to me. I don't have much to add to this game other than I thought it'd be a little bit closer, but didn't have any. Didn't think Cheyenne really had a chance to win, so I wasn't really surprised to see Palo pull it out the way they did. Well, why don't we just jump into this week's games? We're going to start in the Southeast. This is a pretty good game I'm interested in, Liberty and Basic. What do you think?
Well, here's my deal. If Liberty takes the exact same plays that they ran against Del Sol, that's between the tackles, get out of the way.
And if there's less than a minute left, throw the ball.
Yeah,
only time to throw the ball.
Here comes Capelli in a dump truck, and he's going to run you over. I think they beat Basic because I don't think Basic is physical enough to handle that. Now, if Liberty wants to change his script a little bit and try to spread it out, or if Basic could somehow get some turnovers, I think Basic could be dangerous because we know they got the three athletes that are good, right? And if those kids get involved and they do such a good job, Basic does, of getting their athletes the ball, I think Basic could keep it close. Now, I give Liberty the win because I think they're just going to try to pound and ground or ground and pound or whatever it is. I give Liberty the win 35-14. But, Kiefer, if Basic could get a turnover or somehow get those athletes involved, Johnson, Boyd, who knows?
I think it's going to be closer than 21 points, honestly. I like Liberty, too. But I think Basic is a pretty good team. They do some things well. I think they're more well-rounded than Del Sol, have a better all-around team. So I'm not at all expecting Liberty to shut them out. I think Basic's going to score some points, but Liberty's going to be too much.
Yeah, Aaron Love against Green Valley. I mean, Green Valley's Aaron Love against Basic had almost 300 yards on the ground. What do you think Capelli's going to have? Enough said.
Over 200 again.
Let's go, baby.
All right. Silverado and Coronado. You're picking a big upset in this one.
Yeah, I figured you made up so much ground last week, 17-1, Jimmy the Greek over here with me. I figured I'd step out of my comfort zone a little, try to get a game back. And I go Coronado, which might be shocking. I just think Silverado is real banged up, that, you know, they're not moving the ball well. And maybe this is a chance where Coronado could step up and bite them, especially since the schools are so close. There's a little familiarity. I think Coronado comes ready to play. I got Coronado, but it'll be close.
You thought I was going to be shocked when you said that, but I really wasn't. I think Coronado has a chance. They've pretty much played everyone well this year. They just have a few less athletes than some of the other teams in the Southeast. So I got to go Silverado still. I think they're going to win this one. And I think Silverado is going to be a kind of a player here down the stretch. I don't think they're making the playoffs, but they still play, what, Foothill, Basic, and Green Valley, I think? Or Foothill and Green Valley. Foothill, Green Valley, whatever. They play those two teams. So those two teams that are fighting for playoff spots, they got to watch out for Silverado. We'll go next Southeast game. Two of the teams I was just talking about, Foothill and Del Sol. It's at Del Sol. Del Sol is in their first two-game losing streak, I think, in 5 years. Can they snap it tonight or Thursday night?
Beginning of the year, I would have taken Chris Marshall versus Kyle Kepplinger to the house, to the bank. Move over here, I come making a deposit. But Del Sol, first off, against Moapa, they give up almost 50. Next week, they don't score against Liberty. And I know Foothill had probably scouts at the game, and they got the tape. They know what to do. They know to run up the gut. Foothill's probably better on the line than Del Sol. Kepplinger is as good, if not better, than Marshall, even though I did not say that initially, and I took a lot of heat for it. And I just think Foothill gets the W, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think Del Sol shows a lot of resiliency, a lot of heart. This is Del Sol, a perennial power. But I got Foothill by 5, knowing that my heart wants to go with Del Sol.
Yeah, your heart wants to go with Del Sol. That figures. Yeah, I think one of the comments of the week this week was from our reader, I think Guru, if you know who that is, he said that Del Sol is your second favorite team in the world, behind only Bishop Gorman, which gave me a little bit of a chuckle. And you just said your heart.
It's fun. I mean, we're Shap third?
Oh, that's true. Well, you never pick Shap, so I mean, they're not even up there right
back
now.
Back in the day, it was like, oh, Brewer loves Basic. It's Basic and everybody else. Blah, blah, blah.
Now I thought you hate Basic.
I can't stand Basic. They're bums. No, of course I like...
No, I mean, I thought the reputation was you hate Basic.
No. The reputation at Basic was I hate them, and everybody else is that I favor them. It was a real tough predicament for me. I couldn't win.
All right, well, here's what I think of this game. I think Del Sol has a shot here. But I mentioned this in the pick section. I think it's a big deal that Foothill had a bye week last week. I mean, look, one thing that doesn't change no matter what level of football it is, if it's high school, if it's college, if it's peewee, whoever's playing football, you're going to be banged up. You're playing banged up week to week. Having that week off to rest your body, kind of put in some new stuff, and just kind of relax, I think is big. I think Del Sol is catching Foothill at a really bad time, and I think that's going to do wonders. I think Foothill wins a close game here.
Do you factor the Ray Brewer factor in? Like, I had those Liberty players so ready to play against Del Sol, there was no way they were going to lose that game. Just like I had them against Vegas, right? Well, it's like, let's go on the field. Hold on.
So
let's listen to Brewer say, Liberty is slow, Liberty is awful, Liberty's going to get destroyed, and then they win big. Now, at the beginning of the year, I said that Chris Marshall was better than Kyle Kepplinger. You think Kepplinger is going to use that? I win the game for Foothill this week. I'm the 12th man.
Here's my question. Why couldn't Del Sol have done the same thing and listened to what I was saying, hating your word on them against Liberty? Why couldn't Del Sol have used that as motivation, which they obviously didn't because they got run out of the...
Liberty just knows how to do it better.
All right. I guess. Valley and Desert Pines. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm picking Valley. I just kind of like an upset. I've been impressed with Valley this year, and I guess this is kind of my way of rewarding them, probably at the expense of myself, because Desert Pines has got to be a favorite here.
Well, here's the deal. Desert Pines picked up its first win last week, and Coach Paul Bennett straight up said, listen, you know, we got a few good linemen, but we had them going both ways, and by the end of the game, we were tired. So you saw at the beginning of the year against Liberty, they're up in the first half, looking good. End of the game, not enough backups, destroyed. So Paul Bennett started giving some of those big offensive linemen plays off from defense, and it showed against El Dorado. They ran the ball. They ran up almost 400 yards. And I think Valley is a team that's probably pretty comparable to El Dorado. I think DP is really going to hit its stride by beating up on some of these easy teams in the Northeast. And when they get to the playoffs, that first half team against Liberty, I think, might play a full distance. I really think DP could be dangerous. And I know I'm foolish. I sound ignorant. But I'm telling you, Kiefer, I think Desert Pines is a threat.
Well, if I'm right and Valley wins this game, Desert Pines might be in line for that 4 seed and play Liberty in the first round. That's possible.
Well, then we got an upset in the first round.
Wow. You are just cannot get off the Liberty people's bad side. Here you go, Moore. I hope you guys heard that over in Patriots country. We'll go next. El Dorado and Sunrise Mountain. I got to respect the guys over at Sunrise Mountain. I mean, what keeps them coming back out week after week just to lose 66-7? It's got to be tough, and I don't really see it changing this week.
You got 66? Because I don't know if El Dorado scores 11 touchdowns.
Not for El Dorado, but I just mean so far this year, they've just been so they've just pretty much been crushed every game.
I agree, but somewhere you got to think that it's just fun to go out and play. I mean, play with some of your boys, you know, wear that jersey, look up into the stands and see that honey from your chemistry class and give her a smile. Right? You played high school football. Were you doing that?
My team was good.
Yeah, but you weren't looking up into the stands?
No.
Seriously?
I don't think so. I can't remember one time.
Because I remember when I was like a ninth grader and a tenth grader, like you'd all go to the games and you got all the little girls that you're friends with that were in your age group. And they'd be all like, oh my God, look, there's Joey, number 22. He's a senior. He's great. I love Joey, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, boy, these seniors have got a big well over here with the younger girls. Because they're on the varsity.
All right, let's look at some of the – who are some of the teams we've just talked about? Some of these coaches. All right, Foothill, Marty Redmond, Liberty, Rich Morocco, Del Sol, Preston Gore. If you think those guys are going to let – Tony Sanchez at Gorman, you think they're going to let their players be up looking at their girlfriends in the stands? They're going to play the rest of the year
it's
if they do that.
If you're a teenager, come on.
Yeah, well, you have a coach
there.
You're
asking me what's Sunrise Mountain doing to come back? I'm telling you what they're doing.
They're looking up at the stands?
It's more than the game. It's the surrounding events. I mean, don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying that what keeps them coming back? I mean, what would keep you coming back if you're a 17-year-old? That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I don't even know where to go with this conversation. I guess we're just agree to disagree. I got L-Dog, too. Las Vegas and Chaparral. I know this one's going to be tough for you.
I got to go with Vegas. I mean, I got them winning by 50-plus points.
Yep, I think we're already hyping. We mentioned, you think Las Vegas Liberty happens again for that Sunrise title this year?
Here's the deal with Vegas. I still don't know if I'm sold on them defensively. They're getting real confident playing some of these patsies in the Northeast. But to beat Liberty, you're going to have to be near perfect.
Unless you're Desert Pines, because you just said Desert Pines would beat them.
Desert Pines already beat them, bro. They beat them for one half, and then they got tired. All right, we're working on stamina. We're doing extra calisthenics.
All right, we'll go to the next game, Rancho and Canyon Springs. I was actually really surprised to see how close you had this game. For a Canyon Springs team, you wanted to put, I think, like fourth in your top 10 poll this week or something ridiculous. Now you're picking them only to beat Rancho by 3?
Hey, man, if the shoe fits. Listen, Canyon Springs is not a good enough team to be putting people away big. Young teams don't do that. Canyon Springs has got a ton of talent. You know that. Okay, Rancho, I think Cody Hafen and company, not as bad as you think. All right? They got unlucky against Valley in overtime. You know, they got destroyed by Basic. I don't know. What do I know, Kiefer? Maybe you're right. Canyon wins by 40. Who knows? I got it as a close game.
All right, I'll take Canyon.
By 40?
No, not by 40. I think I picked them by like 20.
Okay. All
right. 3 touchdowns, probably. Cheyenne and Arborview, full disclosure, last year this game went into, like, what, 17 overtimes or something like that? Yeah. Absolutely crazy game. I think on paper these teams, you know, look like it could be a good game, and I was really thinking I might pick Cheyenne in an upset here, you know, leading up to this week, and then I saw what happened last week, and I don't think there's any way I could pick Cheyenne after they lose as bad as they did to Palo.
I agree with you, and with the counts not being eligible for the week because you got to sit out a game if you're kicked out. I just think that Arborview, you couldn't stop Palo's double wing. And is it? Well, let me ask you this. I'm picking Arborview just to get that out of the way. Who runs a better double wing, Arborview or Palo?
I mean, you got to say Palo probably because theirs is in first and Arborview's never beaten them, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think.
With actual kids in it? I mean, I don't want to start. I don't want to have any enemies here, but I think I'll take Arborview's 3 guys over Palo's.
I mean, I think I would, too, only because I think Palo beat Arborview because Palo's better defensively.
I mean, I think team top to bottom, I think Palo's got a better team. But skill guys, I'll take those. I'll take Eason and Gaskin and those kids at Arborview, sure.
Rodriguez at fullback?
Yeah, Rodriguez right? at fullback.
Done. I think I might, too.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, in case you were wondering.
All right, Arborview. We're going to move next to a game that I think is going to be really good. All the way up at Centennial, Cimarron Memorial visiting. I can't figure out how Cimarron lost that game to Cheyenne. I know I didn't watch it. You said that you felt like that they kind of gave it away, that maybe they should have won. Just looking at what these two teams have done this year, I think that's a game that Cimarron let get away from them. I think they're much better than that, and I think they're going to show it by beating Centennial.
We've turned this into comedy hour here. I mean, if you're searching for an upset, let me find some games for you. Centennial,
you think
baby is going to rock and roll. They're huge. They run the ball.
So wait, you think Cimarron over Centennial is more far-fetched than Valley over Desert Pines?
Oh, definitely.
No way. No.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. Okay. Cimarron has got a better chance of beating Centennial. All right, listen, Cimarron's got a good player in Damari Williams, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Decent quarterback.
Huh?
Decent quarterback.
Decent quarterback who I like, no doubt about it. I just think Centennial, man, they're big and strong and physical. And if they could stop shooting themselves in the foot, I think they got a good chance. I mean, Jacoby Owens will carry the ball 50 times.
Yeah, while we're talking to Palo, though, why don't we call one of those Palo kids and ask them who they think gave them a better game, Cimarron or Centennial?
Let me text one of them right now. See if I could get an answer before
the end of the show. I am almost sure they will say Cimarron. I like Cimarron in this game. Cimarron Memorial in what should be a great game, but I think Cimarron is going to get it done. I think they're going to be back in the playoffs this year.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
All right. Next game, I think maybe this should be our $5 Memorial game, which, by the way, the kids I talked to at Liberty really wanted to make sure I got that $5 from you, but I said that I still think I owe you $5 on the year. This one, Faith Lutheran and Mojave. Mojave's one of the reasons you got our $5 when they beat Boulder City.
Right,
you're only up $5 now. Okay. But Mojave's playing Faith Lutheran. I like Faith Lutheran in
no
this game.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh,
can this
God.
Be our $5 game?
Bucks? Yes, I'm in.
All right, I'm going to be even after
my
this
five
week.
Bucks back. No way does Faith Lutheran win this game. Faith Lutheran is young. Mojave is physical. Physical beats young every day of the week. You're a hater.
One week you're picking athletes over physical. The next week you're picking physical over athletes. Faith Lutheran can spread out the field. They can throw the ball. Mojave, you're telling me Mojave's going to stop the pass?
You're a Mojave hater, aren't you?
No, I'm not a Mojave hater.
The Mojave Boulder game.
I picked Boulder. I'm going to be because I don't think Mojave has got that great of players. That being said, the coach's name escapes me at the moment. I know it because I've talked to the guy. I think that he's done absolutely a great job. The coach of the year candidate. I don't think Mojave should have won a game yet. I think that they've got some structure there. We talk about structure with programs. I think that they're doing some good things, but I just don't think they're as talented as a team like Faith Lutheran that's going to line up and throw the ball at you.
What Faith Lutheran team? Is Patero and Pearson going to come back for the game? Are you kidding me?
I like the Crusaders.
They gave up 82 points last week to Mojave, to Moapa Valley.
Moapa Valley is one of the best teams in the state. Mojave, not so much.
All right. Well, move on to the next game. But mark me down. I take the Rattlers. You take the Crusaders for $5.
All right. Shadow Ridge and Palo Verde. It feels like we've talked about Palo Verde for a long time here now. but I think we're probably going to agree on this one.
Yeah, a big win for Paolo last week. Here's something to look at. They win, they get a bye next week with the extra day or two, so kind of like a mini vacation for Paolo to recharge its batteries. One of the elite teams in town, I guess the question is are they going to find out a way to crack Gorman? Right? Is it too early to talk about
that? No, it's not too early to talk about a Paolo Gorman. I mean, that's what we always look forward to. I'm
going to look forward to Arborview Gorman this year. It won't have the same intensity or history or fanfare, but I think on the field, I think Arborview gives them a battle.
And you're probably going to shake your head now, but I think Liberty can give them a battle. Not seeing it? Liberty, they can play that ball control. If they could just pick up 3 yards a play, well, see, I mean, they could keep it close.
That's the only way I think you beat Gorman, is you line up and you try to run the ball 16 times a drive and kill 8 minutes and then hope for a fumble or a turnover. Do I think Liberty could bang with Gorman? Probably. I mean, they're big up front, but, I mean, this is a Liberty team that was struggling to beat Silverado, bro. You're like, now all of a sudden you're back. Mr. Patriot is back, baby.
No, I can't believe, we're talking about Liberty a lot this week, but I can't believe how much we talked about other teams winning the Southeast and all this thing. That was all nonsense. Liberty, by far, the best team over here, and I think they
Did
can give Gorman a game.
Did you go over to the Capellis for dinner last night?
No.
Okay,
no.
Just checking. Go
all ahead. Right. All right, well, sorry if it sounds like we're trying to stall. We do have that text message out to an anonymous Palo Verde source to see if they like Cimarron or Centennial. We'll get back to you. But we'll go to the next game until then. Clark and Bonanza.
Did we skip the Gorman game?
No, I think it's still coming out. Clark and Bonanza. Bonanza obviously having a great year, and I see it continuing Thursday night.
I did too. No need to even argue about it.
All right, Bonanza, Durango and Desert Oasis. At the beginning of the year, I think we both picked Durango to finish second in the Southwest. Well, things change a lot. Now I don't see them coming anywhere but fourth, and I think Desert Oasis is going to kind of have their way with Durango.
I do, too. The only thing I have is that Marcus Williams, the Gorman transfer, is now eligible. And between him and A.J. McQuaig, I think they're going to have the two best players on the field. Now, the only problem is that, you know—
What about Kyle Henry?
Well, you're right. Kyle Henry's a good player, but he ain't going to run the ball for you. So, and I just don't know, you know, Durango's to their second quarterback, so they're going to be pretty heavy on the run, which means, you know, Dio's going to be able to load up to stop it. And I just don't see Durango doing it, man. I just think that they don't have enough weapons to surround those two guys.
Gorman and Pahrump. Pahrump much better. Gorman still, I think could win this game by triple digits if they wanted to. I think I said that in the picks, actually, but I don't see Gorman losing here.
Okay, what about, remember how we always have this argument, do you think Gorman's JV team would be able to take second in the league?
Yes.
Okay, because I watched part of Gorman's JV game the other day, and I don't know about that.
Who? Okay, third? Definitely you're not telling me they wouldn't take third.
I don't know. I mean, they just in terms of
Danny Hong.
Danny Hong is a good player. Don't get me wrong, and he's got all the tools, but he didn't play like it for the half of football.
All right. Well, I guess I've only seen him warm up, but he looked impressive.
Oh, he looked impressive, and he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the two next year. He throws a great ball. Here's the thing: is that the kids on the Gorman JV team look like they're sophomores.
Because they probably are.
Exactly. And the kids they'd be playing against would be seniors and juniors that are bigger. I just don't know if they can match up physically. I think they're good, and all those guys, of course, will be on the varsity team. And obviously, you know, Danny Hong is the quarterback of the future, and he throws a good ball, and he's real respected. And, you know, obviously Nico Fertitta is well-respected and plays hard and is good. But I just think 1-11 – being not that physically strong, if you could get a team that's organized and like focus, do you think that like they're going to be able to stop like a AJ McQuaig?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I think they definitely are a playoff team, Gorman JV in the league.
Yeah,
not
I'd
the
say
strongest
they're a playoff
league
team, you know. And I think they beat, you know, Clark and Western, and but I just, you know, I think if somebody wanted to run up and run Liberty at them, down their throats, it might work.
Okay, well, Liberty is kind of in a different class than those teams. I mean, let's just
run
be
the
clear.
Liberty play.
Oh, okay, okay,
yeah,
I got playbook. You. All right, Liberty playbook. We'll go next, Spring Valley at Sierra Vista. This actually could be a pretty good game. It seems like every one of Sierra Vista's games have come down to the wire this year, with the exception being Gorman.
And I hear that Sierra Vista actually has some talented players, that they're just not piecing it together. I give my vote to Spring Valley based on the fact that they've had a little more success this year, not stepping on their own foot.
Yeah, I'll take the Grizzlies, too. Green Valley and Virgin Valley. I know they're going to Virgin Valley, but come on, you only pick Green Valley by one?
At the beginning of the year, who'd you have taken in this game?
I probably would have taken Green Valley, but by a lot less than I took them now. I probably would have taken Green Valley in a close game.
See, I just don't know if, you know, you got to travel to Mesquite. The game means nothing, right? Doesn't hurt you in league. It's just a random game, right?
Yeah, but Virgin Valley hasn't really impressed me other than the first week. Their scores just haven't really been that great.
You still have to travel to Mesquite. This isn't like Alabama where you go to a new town every day. Usually you're driving around the corner. I mean, look at all the teams in the Southeast, Green Valley's league, how close they are. You could walk to a game if you needed to. Now you got to go all the way to Mesquite. You know, are you going to hydrate? Are you going to bring orange wedges? What are you going to do? When's the bus going to leave? How's the weather? It's going to be hotter there maybe. Who knows? I'm just saying don't expect, you know, a running clock. I got Green Valley, but I think it's going to be close, and if Virgin won this game, I wouldn't be shocked. I get the same feeling about this game as I did Moapa Del Sol, where I picked Del Sol kind of begrudgingly knowing that Moapa could win.
Wow, I just don't see these games the same. I think Moapa's on a different level than Virgin. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the Green Valley Orange Wedges will go up there and win this game big.
But you got to bring a snack. I mean, you're there. It's a long drive. You
bring a Gatorade or some.
That's it?
Pedialyte or something so you don't cramp up. You don't bring orange slices. At least I wouldn't. All right. Boulder City and Western. This looks like a good chance for Boulder City to finally get their second win after some close calls.
It does. Again, man, I just don't know if I hate to pick against Western because my heart goes out to those kids, man. I just wish people would realize that there are certain teams in town that don't have the same resources as other teams, and it's just not fun to watch these teams lose all the time, especially when it's like me and I've been here and I know how good they could have been or how good they were. I'll take Boulder, but I'm not happy about it. Not because I hate Boulder, just because I hate to see Western lose.
Yeah, I'm taking Boulder, like I said. I guess that brings us to our last game. We never heard back from our Palo Verde correspondent, but Cimarron will still...
I'm guessing is at practice.
Cimarron will still beat Centennial. You heard it here. It's fine. But this game, another Northwest team, I think this could be one of the best of the week, Moapa Valley at Legacy. My question is, can Moapa stop these kids at Legacy, you know, Stephon Webb and your boy McMorris? I think that's the question of the game. Are those guys going to get loose and score, or is Moapa going to be able to hold them?
I really think Moapa looks at each game against a 4A school as a challenge to prove its worth. Now, I hope that us putting them in our poll at, what, 6 now, doesn't change the mentality where they have to prove something. Because just like Gorman, where if Gorman would go lose to like Dio or Durango, everything they've done nationally, in my opinion, would be erased. And with Moapa Valley, even though they beat Del Sol and they've been a 4A killer this year, if they lose to Legacy Case, is everything they've done erased? Are they out of the top 10?
Probably out of the top 10, but I don't think everything they've done is erased. I think they still got a great shot to win a state championship.
But if Gorman lost to Dio or Durango, it would be erased, right?
On a national scale, I think, okay. Certainly.
Okay.
But I pick Moapa, too. I don't know. I kind of see Moapa, it seems like they have no problem scoring, and they get some of these teams into these you know, crazy high-scoring games. I kind of feel like that might be the case with Legacy, even though Legacy's defense has been pretty good this year. It looks like that's actually the strength of them. Most of their games have been pretty low-scoring, I think with the exception of Arborview.
Yeah, and if my thing is somehow Legacy lost to Cheyenne, you know, and Legacy, you know, sure, if you line up the kids, Legacy's probably going to pass the eye test, but I just don't think they're beating them. You got to do it in between the gridirons. Listen, folks, we've talked for 43 minutes. If you've made it this far, you're an angel. We love you. Thanks for listening. For Case Kiefer, I'm Ray Brewer. Mr. Patriot and Mr. Dragon.
Crusader. Mr. Rattler, Crusader this week.
Signing off.